So I was walking the halls, like trying to make eye contact with any seventh grade boy to let him know this ain't happening. You know what I mean? So it was like, I was walking, I was trying to walk a little bit taller, my chest out a little bit more, like, hey, I'm not afraid to go to prison, son.
Welcome to the Skilled Dad Podcast. This is the podcast for dads of all seasons to learn the things that they can do and engage so that they can go and equip the next generation for success. Here we sit down with everyday dads just like you to learn from their story, get inspired, and then start getting after it. So we invite you to join in, see what you can take away from this story, and apply to your life on your journey to becoming a skilled dad. Hey guys, welcome to the Skilled Dad Podcast. My name is Zach Reeser. I'm your host. And today I'm sitting down with my good friend, John French. John, how are you?
I am doing wonderful. How about you, man? Everything's here. Everything's good. I'm ready to get some cooler weather. It's a little warm. Outside of that, man, I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. We were just chatting a little bit about school has started. So when this podcast actually comes out, school will have been in tow probably a couple weeks by this point, but we're at that beginning edge of starting school. My little one just started pre-K.
Ooh, big day. Big day.
It was a big day. And it was actually, I'll share this story because you know, we're talking about it, but maybe some of you out there listening might relate. My daughter's rolling in and she's so excited. She's confident. She's like, yeah, I just had that strut to her.
Yeah.
And we go around the corner and there's a young man in probably class or grade above her that was just banshee screaming.
Not having it.
I mean, I was both impressed and slightly frightened myself. And his dad was keeping calm, assuring him, encouraging him, but he was not having it. So I watched my daughter go from this confident strut to you just see the body language, like she's staring at him about like I was,
right?
And kind of start to whittle down a little bit. And I was like, oh no, we're gonna abort this thing. she's gonna bounce.
Oh, the shoot.
she was looking for the ejection handle, man. But luckily she brushed it off, walked back, and she was like, I'm in. And so she had a great day, told us all about it at the end of it. So big day for parents, but some of us all have different experiences with that first day.
Yeah. We, last night we went, I took my daughter, she's 12, to seventh grade orientation, whatever they call it, where you like go find your locker and all that. So this is our middle school. So I was walking the halls, like trying to make eye contact with any seventh grade boy to let him know this ain't happening. You know what I mean? So it was like, I was walking, I was trying to walk a little bit taller, my chest out a little bit more, like, hey, I'm not afraid to go to prison, son. Like I just was trying to let everybody in the hall know that. So I could, you know, I was like, middle school, I am not ready for this.
Did you have anybody like stare back at you?
No, not much. So the funny thing was, so our middle son, he's 11, he plays a lot of sports. And because they're 2 years apart, I know a lot of the boys that play sports in her grade. And when we got to the school, they were having football practice outside. And so I saw a bunch of the guys I know outside. So inside, there wasn't a lot of actual, it was mostly a lot of the girls. So, you know, but at that age, those poor little guys, like they have no clue. You know, you like, you just kind of like take a step towards them and it's like instant fear.
Sure.
And so, and you know, the goal is to get fear in now. So when they're 18, you know, they still have that fear of 7 years before, you know, but no, I didn't get any stares back, but I was fully ready if I needed them. You know, I was ready for the dad glare to come in full force.
You were ready. Oh my God. I wish I was there for that. I really, we could probably just end this episode right now. And there it is. Just work on your stare when you walk into the middle school first day of school.
That's right. Just have this like little bit of a crazy look in your eye. Like, I'm not afraid to go to prison. Like if you just have a little bit of that look in your eye, I think it helps.
Somebody out there right now that only has boys is probably like, okay, my takeaway is I'm going to go tell my son, if you see some strange dude looking at you in the eyes like this, I want you to take your thumb and just stare him in the eye and just like move it across your throat. That's right. And stare deep into his soul.
That's right. That's right. Or just walk up. I think the scariest thing is if a young man can look through that and still be kind. Like they walk up and they just go, hello, sir, and shake your hand. And just look you directly in the eye with like calm demeanor. Like to me, I'm like, okay, all right, I can respect that. I can respect that you see the fear, you step into danger, and you know, you're good to go. So for me, I think, you know, if a kid comes back at me a little bit, I'm like, all right, it's go time. With the other kid, it's like, you have a little bit of crazy in you. Like the fact that you can.
That's high emotional intelligence for a seventh grader. That's true. Might turn around and pull out your notebook and say, what's your name? Write it down and say, future prospects of maybes.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Future prospect of maybe. I like that. I'm going to start a list. I like that. Future prospects of maybes.
Yeah. This guy can keep his cool. He's going to be a future leader. This one. So
yeah, I like it.
Oh, that's good. Well, we just jumped right into that. I like that. So first day of school.
We just jumped right into, I'm going to prison. Like we just jumped in right into that. That was great. I like that.
I'm captivated. So I want to hear more about your story about that. I was going to ask you where the tear,
the tear from. Tattoo. That's right.
Yeah. Where it came from. But, oh man, well, John, it's been almost 2 years since we met and known each other. And I've had the opportunity to learn some of your story. And you've mentioned you didn't say how many, but you've got three kids.
Correct.
And if you wouldn't mind, just share a little bit about, you know, who John is and about your family, and we'll just kind of take it from there.
Absolutely. So I work for an organization called Convoy of Hope. I get the awesome opportunity to help raise money to feed kids and respond to disasters, empower women. And so that's a little bit about what I do, but that's not the focus of this podcast. It's more of the better job I get. That's job number two. Job number one is dad and husband. Hmm. And I really do feel that way. For me, that's not something that I just throw out. I really feel, and I felt this at like a young age, not to get all crazy, hyper-spiritual, because that's not me, but felt God just called me to be a good dad and husband. And so for me, that's really been a focus of who I am. I'm married to Dory and like the fish, if you will. And we've been married
Does she know that
use that reference? Well, every time we go, her name's Dory, almost someone in the group will go, like the fish? And she'll go, yep, like the fish. And so we're big Disney people. So for her, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
And so we've been married. It'll be 17 years in October.
Wow. Nice.
And, yeah. Crazy times. And we have three wonderful kids. Sophia Lynn. That means a waterfall of wisdom. She's 11. Jonathan Michael Jr., God's gift, is 10. And then Caden Daniel, a warrior for God's judgment, he's 10 and Jonathan's 11. They all just had birthdays. As you can see, that's for those of you doing the math at home, that's 12, 11, 10. That was three kids in 3 years, three Christmases with a pregnant wife. And that was interesting. In the beginning, it was hard. We had three in cribs, three in diapers, all at the same time. Now the season of life we're in is amazing because they're all really good friends. We just went to Disney World. They're riding rides together. The boys are outside playing catch together. So now it's a really good time most of the time. However, it also creates some fun fighting and bickering because they're all right there in the same season of life together. This year we are for the first time, all three of them are at different schools.
Oh, wow.
And so that's going to be an interesting journey to see kind of how that plans out. So there'll be three drop-offs, three pickups. And so in the past, there's usually been two at one and one at the other, and they kind of rotate. The middle child kind of goes back and forth between those. Okay. And we have a dog, Boomer. We're big Oklahoma Sooner fans. His name's Boomer. He's a golden doodle. You know, I took a picture the other day. I came out of Walmart and my golden doodle was sitting in the passenger seat of my minivan and he was staring at me like as I'm walking towards him. And I took a picture. And I was like, when I was a kid and I thought grown man with dog in my vehicle, I wasn't thinking golden doodle in my minivan. I was thinking, you know, like Rottweiler in the Jeep or something like that. And I was like, what is my manhood become that I've got a golden doodle in a minivan? That's my,
that's my, but The minivan thing, we're in process of looking for the minivan.
Yes.
And I've had some good conversations on minivans. I have a little different perspective, though. My first job, I got a company car.
Okay.
So I'm 23, and it was a Dodge Grand Caravan.
Nice.
And I got made fun of so bad. It left an impression. But I'll say that that was very temporary, because shortly after that, everyone wanted to ride together in the van.
That's right.
So if you're
giving everybody a ride,
it was a great opportunity to get some friends together. And while you might be driving a little bit more, if you're about to take that leap from Rottweiler in a Jeep to Golden Doodle in the minivan, it's not as bad as you might think.
Man, I'm going to be honest. And to all the listeners, if you tell anybody I said this, I'll say you're a liar. I like minivans. I told my wife the other day when we were driving, like, someday when we don't have kids, I still might want a minivan. Like a nice minivan. Like, you have your captain's chair. You have, like, I have all of the controls to everything I want at my fingertips. I have space. I can move around. Like, if you're traveling, it's amazing. Don't be afraid of the minivan. Now, you know, I think if you want to get a second car, Jeep, maybe someday that would be awesome to do. But don't be afraid of the minivan. Like, if you're thinking, like, here's the thing I think people have to realize with a minivan, I see it as like a trophy. Like, look to where I've got, like, all the cool things I wanted. I have a minivan because I have an incredible family that I have to tote around. I have an awesome wife that I get to be with. Like, I get to be a minivan guy. I don't have to be in a Jeep by myself alone with my Rottweiler, you know, crying myself to sleep. No, tonight I have an amazing family because I have a minivan.
I love that takeaway, though, because it does focus what the imagery is when you think of a car specifically. Like, cars are, I've got stories on cars and stupid decisions with cars because of the external imagery.
Right.
Right. But what it does represent, I love that take and that perspective on it. It's the different kind of trophy, different kind of measurement. And it also helps that minivans today are like Vegas on wheels.
Oh, they're awesome.
So
awesome.
Minivans. Yeah, we went there and I'm okay with it.
I'm a big fan. A skilled dad knows how to drive a minivan. He knows how to open doors while the car is still moving, even though everything's beep. But you got to learn, man. It's an art. It's an art form.
It is an art form. I'm still saving towards a version of that Jeep. We actually have a 2005 Explorer that we bought. We needed a mountain car years ago.
Yeah.
I like to hunt. When I lived in Colorado, started hunting. And once we get the minivan and then we've got another car, I'm going to keep that one.
Yep.
Probably put a little extra lift or suspension on just to get out and
get some space. Fun. I like it.
Hey, whatever you do, just do it with some swag.
That's what I'm saying.
It's all.
Hey, and I'm not saying I'm against the Jeep and you're less of a dad if you have a Jeep. I'm just saying, don't be afraid of the minivan.
Yeah.
Have all the other stuff. You know, someday I'd like to have a big four-door truck that I can just take anywhere, go anywhere. The Lord doesn't have that right now, and that's fine. I'm just saying, if it's that season where it's like, should I get a minivan? I'm just going to say, do it. There's no shame in the minivan.
Own it, baby. Just own it.
Own it. That's right. Drive it like you stole it. You know what I mean? Like, own that bad boy.
Yeah. Just don't steal one. We don't recommend that.
I don't recommend that.
Okay. That was a small sidebar, but very, I think, worthy of it for anybody looking at minivan. But so you've got the 3, 10, 11, 12.
Correct.
During Christmas, the gift that keeps on giving. You and I were talking about Dory earlier, and we both recognized that we married up.
100%.
Like many of us probably have. But you've got some interesting background and some challenges that you guys have faced. And I was curious if you might dive in and share a little bit about that, especially with kids that are 3 years apart.
Right.
That's 3 years, like 30 months of babies coming.
Yeah.
If you could unpack some of that for us, I think that'd be awesome.
Absolutely. I think one of them, at least with having kids close to each other, and I'm imagining not close to each other, this is the same. I just don't have that experience, right? I can only talk from the experience I have. I think for us, sometimes it's really easy to lump them all together as same personality, same like, same dislikes, because they're so close in age. And they can almost lose their individuality because of that. Especially the two boys. So the girl, she can kind of have her individuality, right? She's the princess, the girl, she has her own thing. But the two boys, you know, if one plays baseball, you make the other one play baseball so you don't have to drive to two practices or something else, right? And so you can kind of end up lumping them together when they don't have the same, they don't have the same likes. You can lump their personalities together. You know, I'm going to discipline them the same way because I walk into the room, they're in trouble. So they both get disciplined a certain way when they have different ways that they respond to discipline. They have different ways that they respond to each parent. And so I think the challenge in kids close, and I'm guessing this is with the same with kids apart. I don't know. Again, I can't speak on that behalf,
sure.
But it's making sure to keep them individualistic, to say, what is it you want to do? And how can I best facilitate that as you, as my son, not as you, as my two sons together. And that's been something that we've really had to wrestle with just as they're getting older. Because we obviously, each one of them is good at something different. And so you want them to do what they're good at, but then you're looking at your calendar going, how do we get everybody to everything? How do we do everything? And so, I would say just really fighting the tension of making sure that you are dealing with each one of them individually as the person they are, as the person they're going to be, and then accepting that. And realizing that each kid, you know, some of our children are like me, some are like my wife. I mean, they have a little bit of all of us, but they have more tendencies. And so just kind of letting them be themselves. And then I think kind of on that same structure is when you have multiple kids, is really learning how to live by a calendar. The Google Calendar runs our world. I make fun of my wife, but like, as we're having a meeting about when the next meeting is, I'm getting Google Calendar invites, like in those meetings, to keep on track. But I travel some for a living. I'm very busy at work. And what you don't, if you don't calendar, it's not going to happen, right? Like, nothing happens unintentionally. You're not just going to wake up one day and have a good family. You're not just going to wake up one day and be a good man. You're not just going to wake up one day and be a good husband. It's decisions you have to make every day, small decisions along the way that are going to make that large impact. If you're like me, if I don't calendar those small decisions, I end up missing the opportunities. And then I'm 2 weeks down the road and I've missed everything. And so with three kids close to the same age, you know, we have multiple sports practices, ukulele lessons, all these things going on. The only way to make that happen is that we calendar. And for us, one of our big core values is we try to eat around the dinner table 4 to 5 times a week. So the only way that happens is if we calendar it. So sometimes we're literally eating around the table at 4:45. And then, you know, that's horrible on the groceries, because then everybody comes home at 6:30 and they're ready to eat dinner again. And so then everybody's crushing it. And then there's other times it's like, okay, dinner's at 7:30 around the table tonight. But we can do that because we calendared it, right? Because we knew what was coming up. It didn't hit us by surprise. So yeah. I think that the big learning lessons really with kids that close is calendaring everything and keeping to it. And then letting them be individuals is really a big thing.
You know, as you're talking through that, we talked about Parkinson's law when I was talking to my friend Mark on a previous episode. And are you familiar with Parkinson's law?
A little bit, but give me a breakdown. And then if anybody's listening that doesn't know, that hasn't had a chance to listen to that one yet, if you haven't listened to that one, go back and listen to it.
Yeah, go back and listen to it. Here's the high level. Parkinson's law essentially is saying that time that you have will be filled with something, and in the time allotted. So right. Even if you give yourself 2 weeks on something, you may not start it until that deadline, but it can be filled with good things or it can be filled with something.
Right.
But that time blocking using the calendar, and this is what came to mind when you brought this up, because I just had this conversation 2 days ago. Let themselves be individuals, because if they're close together, or they can lose the individuality.
Right.
And each of them have buttons that help, that can be pushed. They have things that make them tick. That's I think, a opportunity for a leadership lesson.
Absolutely.
Right. whether you're in the office or you're at home, you can remove the setting and look at a team environment, because a family is a team.
Absolutely.
And how often, same thing with the calendar. If I don't know what everyone's role is when they're at work, wherever that might be at home right now, whatever that looks like, how many don't utilize a calendar for something?
Right.
At least effectively as a time management thing. Correct. But how often do we then get home and all the things that we do for quote unquote business no longer applies to the household?
Right. Yeah. 100%.
So those are two lessons I'd say as a dad or as a leader, those are some good takeaways. So thanks for that. You got me all jazzed up.
You know, I think kind of in that vein, you know, time is the currency of relationship, right? Mm-hmm. And so to build a good relationship, you have to spend time. And I think many times we don't necessarily know how to do that with our kids. I heard a pastor a long time ago, he has like six kids and he's older and all of his kids turned out really great. I just said, how did you do it? Like, how did you manage being a pastor of this ginormous church? You've got really great kids. And he said, I made a decision to give every child 15 minutes every day. So when I got home from work, I gave each kid a focused 15 minutes. Now that could be anything from playing a video game. It doesn't have to be like sit down heart to heart, but I was just giving face to face with each kid individually. And that was something that really struck to me. And so it's been something over the last 12 years I've tried to do with my kids is every day, just give each kid 15 minutes. Mm. And you don't realize, like, to some 15 minutes may sound like a lot of time with each kid. For some, that sounds like a short amount of time. But I think it's the old saying, you know, he who spends the most time wins. You want to be just spending face to face. And that's how you learn those buttons to push. That's how you learn the differences. That's how you hear one of them say, "Dad, I really don't want to do baseball, even though I'm doing it." It's in those moments that you have those connections. For me, kind of go back to what you said about you do something at work and then you get home, right? So I made up a statement for myself a long time ago when my kids were little. Like, I had this realization one day driving home, like, my kids don't care about my job. They don't care. They don't understand it. They don't get it. They don't care if I had a good day at work. They don't care if I had a bad day at work. When I get home, all they care about is that I'm home. And so I started telling myself the statement before I would walk in the house, it's time to put my cape on, because my kids don't care if I'm Superman at work. They care if I'm Superman at home. Mm-hmm. So when I get home, I have to put away all of the frustrations of the day. I have to put away everything that was been going on, and I have to be Superman in that moment. And for me, it's like, for these 45 minutes, when I get home, I got to be Superman. Now, I can crash after I do that. I'm not saying that my kids know if I had good days or bad days. We're very open. We treat our kids like they're little humans, like they're little adults. But sometimes you have to look at yourself in the rearview mirror of the car before you walk inside and go, okay, I don't want to go in there. Like, I don't want to go in and have kids draped all over me. I don't want to go in there and pretend like I'm happy. I don't want to throw a baseball, right? Like, I mean, hopefully it's okay if I'm just being honest. I don't come home every day just super pumped to be babysitter dad, right? But 100%. That doesn't mean that I can't negotiate with myself and still do it. And so that's just a small statement. Maybe if you're a dad, you've got a busy life. You're working two jobs to keep food on the table. You're struggling. Your kids still think you're Superman. Your kids think you are amazing. You're the one when they go to school that they tell the other kids their dad isn't as cool as you. They tell the other kids that their dad pales in comparison. Last night, I go to pick my son up from his grandparents' house, and his buddies are there that live down the street. And I get out of the car, and the kid runs up to the door, and he's like, "You ready to go 1v1? And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "Me and you, basketball. Your son says you can beat me." And I'm like, "Of course I can beat you. You're like seventh grade. I'm going to crush you, you know?" And he's like, "No, we're going to play now." But it's like, in my son's eye, I'm like Shaquille O'Neal, right? Yeah. So just remember, as a dad, like, they see your cape and they think the world of you. And so just try to figure out how you can make that space so you can when you get home, you can be that Superman for them.
I'm glad that you're real, right? Because I think the conversation I've had, like, that's how we feel. Like, we are doing a lot of things, but to be able to show up. And I love the cape. If anything, for the imagery, whatever you do to transition from your work environment to the home environment, the imagery of putting on that cape is like, okay, this is, it's a good device to say, all right, let's step into it.
Yeah.
Whatever that is for you. So, I'm just curious, did the seventh grader beat you?
We haven't played yet, but I'm going to destroy him. Like usually, usually I'll give a kid like a chance, you know, like if we're playing horse, I'll miss a couple shots here and there to help out a little bit. But if you're going to come, if you're coming at me before I'm even out of the car, we got to teach a lesson. You know, like we got at that point, we just got to be like, listen, I'm not going to throw a bow. I won't let Charles Barkley get involved. Right. I'll keep that out. But no, the kid's actually like, he's like seventh grade and he's probably like 5'10", probably close to 200 pounds. He's a big kid.
Oh, wow.
And so, I was like, man, I'm going to body you up. And I was like, dude, I'll just body you up. And he says to me, he goes, oh yeah, I bodied up a 6'2" kid one time. And I go, hey, realize you just said kid. I'm not a kid, son. And like all the boys started dying laughing. They're like, oh, but anyways, that's the part of being a dad. I think, you know, I'm a sports dad, a coach and all that stuff. And I love that side of it. So yeah, we haven't played yet, but I'll give you an update. I'll shoot you a little text and let you know what the final score was.
I want to see it on YouTube, and then I want to know if he made your maybe prospect list.
Oh, no, that's not going to happen. I know that. Okay. That's not happening. No chance.
There. Oh, my goodness. Hey, one last thing on the time. Have you ever read the book? I read this book years ago and actually applied it to so my team was all over the western half of the United States, and I didn't see them a whole lot in person. And this is before Skype was big and Zoom and all that. But there's a book called The Like Switch. Have you ever read The Like Switch? Okay. So
write that down.
It's what I like about it is this gentleman, I think he actually was a former FBI, special agent. He might have been an interrogator. But they have an interesting formula in there, which is if you were to look at relationship, kind of, we're going algebra here. So do an interpretive dance with me, but you've got the big R for relationship equals duration plus frequency plus intensity. And so the reason I bring that up is if you mentioned time is the currency that helps build the relationships.
Yeah.
In that sense, when I was on the road a lot, and you mentioned you travel for work too, most of my physical time was spent on the weekends.
Right.
So if you look at that equation, R equals D plus F plus I, let's say the frequency may not be there, but what can you then adjust for your intensity? And that could be, what are we doing on Saturday mornings as our thing, or
right.
Shared experiences that are a little bit more intense, or we have more time.
Right.
Right. So I just like that equation because it's a good mental thing of, okay, how can I balance that to still make sure that I'm building a relationship with my kid and there's some intentionality that's required, as you said.
Absolutely. I think on that, kind of on that vein, our kids are very gracious, forgiving, and loving, and they are very understanding. And so for my kids, when I travel, because I spend time with them when I'm not traveling, they're gracious for when I am traveling. So I think just kind of on that same, like you just said, like,
yeah,
if you're gone all week, then don't go golf all day Saturday when you get home, spend time with your kids. Yep. Now I'm not saying you have to spend the whole day, but if you continually make time for them when you can, then they understand when you can't, because it's like, okay, he's got to go out of town. We like living in this house. We like eating food. He's got to travel. We get it. My kids get that I have to travel. I explain to my kids why I travel, that it gives us the chance to feed hungry children. And so they're a part of that process. But if I can't make something work all week long, then they know the reason dad's not making it work is because he can't, because if he could, he would, because every time he can, he does. And so that's would be my encouragement of, like you said, if you're spending the time during those weekends, then they're going to give you that grace when you're gone during the week.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's fantastic. I did a very poor job of that because when I came home, I usually was opening my laptop and going through P&L adjustment spreadsheets and all that stuff. Right. So
yeah, absolutely.
That's the other side.
I would love to say, like, hey, since I'm on this podcast, I'm perfect at it. I still have to learn to put my phone away. I still have to learn to not even just work, but Twitter, Instagram, you know, really. And again, I think the key is those things aren't bad. Mm-hmm. They're only bad if they are elevated above what we need to be doing, you know? Right. And so we need you need your alone time. You need things to do to recoup yourself, to get your gas tank going, but just make sure you're not sacrificing your family at that.
Yeah. Good call out, man. I like it. The like switch.
The like switch. I like
the like switch. It's an interesting book. Let me know what you think. There's another part of your story I'm curious if you share with us. You battled cancer.
Correct. Yep.
Could you just share some of that with us?
Absolutely. Back in 2017, into 2016, probably just noticed a lump on my neck. Mm-hmm. I have horrible teeth. So I thought maybe it was a tooth gone bad or, you know, something going on. Went to the doctor and he said, I don't really know what it is. He said, but your white blood count is really weird and off. He's like, it could be this one weird thing that only really old guys get, but I don't think that would be you, but let's biopsy it. So we biopsied, sent it off to Mayo Clinic, came back, got a phone call in April of 2017, and that it came back with cancer, a form of cancer called mantle cell lymphoma. Usually only happens in guys that are elderly. Very high mortality rate. Again, that's because a lot of times it happens in guys that are older that are kind of, you know, when they're coming to the end of life, they don't want to go through what we had to go through to get to the other side, if that makes sense. It wasn't an easy journey. I was in stage 4, 60% of my blood was infected with cancer. Went to the Mayo Clinic. I don't know how long I had to live. I wouldn't let them tell me that's part of our story and journey, is that I was very, hands off with information because I couldn't fill my mind with that. I dwell on information too much. And so, but with that, he said, I'm not going to say you have days and weeks, but I'm not comfortable at saying months and years. And that was as far as we would let him go with that. So we started into a 6-month chemo journey. And then at the end of that, did a full stem cell transplant in the hospital for 21 days, isolation, lost the hair, completely collapsed. The immunity system, had to get all my vaccinations from like when you're a kid, they have to give you all those because it wipes your system completely clean. We lived in a small town in Missouri, and so we had to drive 2 hours every month. And then every other month I stayed in the hospital for my treatments. And so during all that, we had kids that were like, 4 years ago. So they were 6, 7, and 8 years old.
Wow. Yeah.
And so we were, it was crazy. It was crazy. We kept them very informed to the point that they could be at that age.
Yeah.
We didn't hide them from anything. You know, I remember my wife sitting down and telling them, you know, dad's got cancer. I remember falling asleep in their rooms, crying on the floor, wondering like, am I going to get to see these kids graduate high school and get married?
Yeah.
And some very dark times, but some very good times. And so we came in out of the end of that, to end of 2017, finished the stem cell transplant. And then for 2 years following that, every other month had a treatment. And so I just finished that 6 months ago. I'll have my 6-month checkup in September, and spoiler alert, I'm doing great. I'm here. So obviously, you know, sometimes when we tell the story, it's like people have this look like, what happened? And it's like, well, I'm doing great. I'm here. Full remission, 100% cancer free. We felt like God had healed our body before we went into the stem cell, but we really felt like, it would be a bad steward to not walk through the whole entire journey.
Yeah.
And so, so it's been crazy. My wife is currently working on a book to kind of help families. Cause listen, when you're walking through cancer, there's just not a lot of stuff out there to tell you, the mental side of it, the family side of it. There's just a lot that goes on in it. I think I would encourage anybody that if you are walking through cancer or have somebody close to you that's walking through cancer, find a cancer buddy that you can just talk openly to when you're having a horrible day, and you can just say, I'm having a horrible day. Because I think sometimes we feel like if I admit I'm having a bad day, I'm a horrible person.
Yeah.
And, or the other side of that is we just live in the bad day. And sometimes we need to have somebody go, hey, you're okay. Smile, buck up, get outside, get some sunlight. So, so that's been a part of our journey. It's afterwards, my wife and I have been going through counseling for the last 2 years. She had a lot of kind of post-traumatic stress disorder. She really did kind of the, you know, you've seen the movies where like the car is on the kid and the mom lifts the car, the mom strength thing, right? Where like,
yeah,
they just pull the car. She really lived that. She really ran our lives. At that time, I was a pastor. She was running our ministry at that time. She was running our family. And so she was just kind of, I think, cramming everything in the back closet of her mind. And then when we got through that season, that closet just exploded open. And we had to just find a counselor that could really walk us through it.
Yeah.
I know this is kind of a side note. I would encourage anybody to go into marriage counseling, even if you have a good marriage. It has been a game changer for us. I remember after the first year, our counselor was like, "Hey, we really don't need to meet about this anymore." And we were like, "Yeah, but we're still meeting." And so we still meet every other week with our counselor. It's just good to have somebody else's voice in your life that can help walk you through stuff, answer questions. If I want my golf game to be better, what do? I go get a coach.
Yeah.
If I want to get better money, I go get a financial advisor. If you want a better marriage, you got to have somebody helping you with it. It's not just going to happen. And so for us, the last couple of years, we've really been walking through what's that look like. We're seeing it. We saw it with our kids. Mm-hmm. Every time I would go to leave the house, my kids would cry because they were thinking dad's got cancer and he's got to go to the hospital, even if it was just for work stuff.
Dude, yeah.
I don't think we realize how much our kids understand. You know, even this last year with COVID, or the year and a half, they don't talk about it, but they are processing it. They hear the news that we have on. They hear me and my wife talking. They hear when we're around the dinner table with another family talking about the school situation, what the school's going to do, not going to do. And I don't think we always realize the level of anxiety that our kids are dealing with and the level in which they're processing the information they're hearing. And so for us, we've really been trying to get on the front end of processing information with them. And that's helped us. I mean, there's things now where like my daughter still doesn't want to talk about the cancer journey, which is crazy because she has a picture of me in her room when we went to a dance when I had lost all my hair. It's like right next to her bed. And I'm like, you don't want to talk about it, but you won't let me take that picture down.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's just some things that, it takes time. And so I would encourage any dad that's listening to this. If you've walked through something, don't give up. It just takes time. It just takes time mentally, emotionally, spiritually to get through some of those hard battles. Don't give up. Have those tough conversations with your kids. They're thinking about it. Like, it's crazy once they'll start opening up what they're actually thinking. Our son just a couple nights ago. So we are in Springfield, Missouri. They have this school called Wolf School. You would love it. So in your fifth grade year, you get to go to Bass Pro Shop for your whole entire school year. So Bass Pro has a fifth grade class. You go there and they teach you all the normal stuff, plus like all the outdoor stuff. Right. And it's like camping. It's incredible. The only way you can get in is through the lottery system. Like, you put your name in.
Yeah.
This year they only took 26 kids out of our whole district. Springfield's the largest school district in Missouri. They only took 26 kids that applied, and our son got one of those 26 spots.
Nice.
So we've been so pumped about it. Well, we went on and watched some videos. Well, one of the things they're going to do is they're going to teach them how to hunt a little bit.
Nice.
So they had showed some pictures of them hunting. Well, if you hunt an animal, what obviously is the outcome? You kill the animal.
Harvest.
He had never internalized, can I kill an animal?
Mm.
And so all of a sudden, like, we went from like a couple weeks ago being super excited about school to all of a sudden now, like, he's not excited to talk about school, but we couldn't figure out why. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of days ago, he comes to my wife and he's like, "I just don't know how I feel about that." Well, he's been for like 2 weeks processing. I mean, that's a deep thought for a 10-year-old kid. Right.
Yeah.
And so
for anybody.
Yeah. For anybody. Right. So those are the things that, like, I think sometimes we forget that our kids are little humans, little adults. They just don't have the tools that we have to be, and some of us, myself included, don't even have good tools at processing, right? Like, I'm like, if I got to process that thought and I'm horrible at processing it, imagine what I would do at processing this at 10, right?
Right.
So, anyway, sorry, that's a little sidetrack, but that's one of the things that we kind of learned is, man, those injuries run deep, but we want to try to help process as much in their thought process as we can, as soon as we can.
And equip yourself with some of those tools to be able to have the conversation. Right.
Yeah,
and that time and trust and relationship that you built. The other thing I want to call out that you said, getting a cancer buddy, getting somebody that has walked through it, understands it, can encourage you. It also kick you in the pants. And I hope that no one listening, you know, is experiencing this. If you are, I know we'll talk about it here in a minute as to where someone could go find more information if they wanted to.
on that story. I know you guys have done some cool things to help equip people. The sad part is, statistically speaking right now, a lot of us are going to know some people that go through this.
Yeah, absolutely.
My brother's, when he was 23, he was diagnosed with stage 4 colon. It went away and has come back. And now it's in a different spot, right? And so sometimes that first point of a hard thing is kind of isolate. But going all the way back to the beginning when you said, hey, we get home, we put on that cape.
Right.
With something like that, it seems like that would just be incredibly hard. So the importance of having that buddy. But I'll also take that and say, I had a conversation with a guy, actually, this is last night, and he just started sharing, as dads and husbands, oftentimes it seems we're expected to have all of our stuff together.
100%.
We used a different word, but we're going to
stuff
for right now. We're going to keep that little E off of this podcast.
Right. Yeah.
I have bets to see how long we get to keep that. Right. Yeah. Because we have people from all over that are hopping on this thing. But at the end of the day, there's this expectation or thought that there's this expectation that we always have our stuff together.
Right.
And even with our wives, sometimes we're like, yeah, you still put on some of that armor, bravado, whatever you want to call it. Having the band of brothers that are also experiencing life as a dad, or if someone's experiencing that situation, be bold and seek that out, because then you can have somebody to kick in the pants.
Yep.
Also encourage you, and someone that you can be real with.
Absolutely. Yeah. In our house, we call that having somebody you can take your armor off with.
Yep.
Meaning, all day long you're fighting, you're in a battle with your armor, but you got to have some people that you can take that armor off and just be vulnerable and say, man, I don't got it together. And one of the hard parts in the cancer journey was you go into all these rooms with people battling cancer and it's depressing.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of hope. And so just learning how to keep hope, you need somebody in your corner helping you do that, because you can get really focused on yourself real quick. And lose the foresight of that there's still something incredible in front of you.
Yeah. No, that's really good, man. That word vulnerable keeps coming up, and there's always a little shakiness around it, because it's like one guy said the Bachelorette has ruined the word vulnerability. which I thought is really good. We're going to redefine what that is, because there's still this timid kind of hunger for being real. So we'll just say vulnerability, being real with people. And if you don't have that now, my encouragement is to be bold and get out there and just recognize that it might be real awkward at the beginning.
Yes.
But the other side of it can be really impactful. So
absolutely.
For those that have experienced the cancer element or would like to learn more about your story, you had mentioned before to me prior to us recording that you guys have done something out there to help equip families. Could you say what that is and where people could find it?
Absolutely. We have a video on YouTube that shares the whole story. The first half is telling the story, because I think that helps people connect. And then the second half is there was really five or six things that we did as a family to have a plan and attack the whole situation. And so if you want to check that out, you can. I have a YouTube page called The French Five, the French, like the language, and then the number five. And there's a video on there that you can check out, watch. It's about an hour long. You can break it down into segments, but just give you a chance to be encouraged, to hear a story that's maybe like yours or like someone you know. And then hopefully just some really practical, the five or six things we did were extremely practical things. Or if you want to hit me up on a social media, I'm just John French, no H, JONFRNCH, double underscore. And if you need a cancer buddy, I know I don't live where you are necessarily, but if you just need somebody to chat with, talk to, message, please hit me up. And I would love to just be able to give you any kind of encouragement. I can answer any questions about what we walked through. Just want to be a resource and be as helpful as I can.
That's awesome, dude. I'll put it in on the summary of this podcast. I just put a link in there for people so they can go check it out. Whether you yourself would benefit from it, or if you know somebody, that way you are equipped with it. So, Okay. We've covered a lot of ground on a variety of topics today. That's true. I love it. If you could take three things that you would equip someone listening with, what would they be?
Yeah, I think two of them I've already said, so I won't dig into it, but just to reiterate one, put your cape on. Your kids think you're Superman. And that doesn't mean you have to be Superman. That doesn't mean you have to pretend you're Superman. They think you're Superman. You just be them. Two, spend time with your kids. It's just really important. Just even if it's playing a video game, going outside and playing catch. And then the third one is, and you talked about this a little bit a second ago, but I remember when I first had kids, I went to a school function and I didn't know any other dads in the school district. We were new to the area. And you're standing in this circle of like eight guys and none of the eight guys know each other. You're all awkwardly talking, right? Like 1 foot in the circle, but your weight's leaning out of the circle. You're kind of trying to figure out, like, I think that's his dad. I think that's her dad because they kind of look alike, or they came up and said hello, or I've seen them at a game before. And I just decided, like, in the middle of one of those circles one day, I was like, I am going to cross the circle of awkwardness. And so I would just start going, hey, I'm JJ's dad. Are you Sam's dad? What's your name? Oh, Josh. Josh ended up becoming one of my greatest friends when we lived there because I crossed that. And most of all the guys in that circle are just like you. They want to meet you. They want to know who their kids' dads are. They're looking for friends. So don't be afraid to just be awkward for 30 seconds. Meet that dad on the other side of the circle or next to you. And then don't be afraid to follow up later when you see them at a game or you do that. That's the way friendships are born. I think a lot of times us as guys have a hard time meeting people outside of our family world and work world, right? Like if I work with you, I can meet you if you're my family. But when it comes to like my kids' school, I want to know my kids' friends' families. Like that's a big deal for me. So because of that, I would just say, if you're standing in a circle and you don't know anybody in the circle, just go, hey, everybody, I'm John. I'm JJ's dad. I'm Caden's dad. I'm Sophia's dad. Why don't we, like, I am this guy. Hey, why don't we run around the circle real quick? Let's just all say, like, who's our kid and what our name is. So we all kind of have and you're like in the moment, everybody kind of chuckles because you feel like you're in middle school. But then all of a sudden now you've changed the whole dynamic and you're like, listen, I'm a quiet guy. I can't do that. Then don't be mad when you don't have friends. Like you either got to do something or you're just going to keep having what you have. So for me, I was like, I'm tired of seeing these guys. Cause like, maybe you're not like me, but like you get to this point where it's like, I've seen that guy at 83 things. I should know his name. I don't know his name. Now it's almost awkward that I don't know him. Mm. I've seen him too many times to not be friendly.
Been there.
It's like when you haven't met your neighbor next door for a year and then you meet him and you're like, I don't know my neighbor's name. And it's like, I should know my neighbor's name, but I don't. Right. And so, So my last thing would just be, don't be afraid to just cross the circle of awkward and say, hey, and I always lead in with, I'm so-and-so's dad. Mm-hmm. Because that, you know, as men, a lot of times we're sizing each other up. What do you do for a living? What kind of car do you make? What part of the town do you live in? Am I better than you or worse than you? We're trying to figure out our line in the pecking order of this circle. Mm-hmm. Whenever I introduce myself as one of my kids' dads, I remove all of that because we're equals. We both have a kid that knows each other. Yep. So none of that other stuff matters anymore. So just say, hey, I'm so-and-so's dad. Who's your son again? Oh, my son said, you know, if my son's talked about him, my son talked about, like, they played baseball together the other day. So just use, kids are a great connector. Anyway, so that was a long explanation, but just don't be afraid to be awkward to meet somebody at school. Because it makes a big difference in the long run when you know a kid's parents, it just makes the world easier.
Yeah.
Those would be my three things.
No, those are really good. Those are really good. The last point, maybe I'm just driving a couple of things home. It's social proofing, right?
Right.
So from a psychological standpoint, it's social proofing. Nobody wants to be the first.
Right.
But there's another great YouTube, and I think part of the reason no one wants to be the first is because it's awkward and we fear rejection.
Yeah.
if you haven't seen it, I recommend go. And I think you could just, I'll have to put this one in the notes then too, but to make sure it's right. It's Rejection Therapy. Just go look at Rejection Therapy. And this guy was set out to go and essentially get rejected because he was so afraid of it. And so he was tasked to go get rejections. And within this exercise, he ended up getting more yeses than nos. Either was yes or navigated him to something he didn't even know that was a better opportunity. So stepping into that awkwardness, just owning it. And then I love Put Your Cape On, kind of that mindset of it. We know we're not Supermen, but we want to show up and be there. Right. So it's a great mindset thing. Spending time with our kids. You mentioned time is the currency of relationship.
Yeah.
So let's not go bankrupt.
Yeah, absolutely.
And third is having that group of men around you where you can remove the barriers of what you do, positions you hold, how much money you make, and which is kind of what we're doing on this podcast. We remove those titles and all that. And our title is Dad, and we have that commonality. Yep. Be bold, step into the awkwardness and see what happens.
Yes. Make it happen.
Make it happen.
Make it happen, Cap'n.
Some people will say no, and that's okay. They're not your customer.
That's okay. Yeah, that's exactly right. And thank you for having me. Thank you so much for this invitation. And I love what you're doing. Like you said, we can remove everything and just be Dad. And if that's one of the only titles we ever get, what an incredible title.
That's it.
What an incredible honor it is to get to raise humans, to be incredible humans. And if you're a dad out there listening, keep fighting it. Don't give up. You're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have days that are neither good nor bad. Just don't stop being a dad. Wake up every morning excited to be a dad. Do the best you can with what you got for today, and then give it another shot tomorrow.
That's it, man. Keep fighting. I love it. And I'll just reiterate, if people want to check out more of John's story, go do that. And I think that's a great example of keep fighting, regardless of what things might look like where you are now in your current reality. That fiercely forward mentality with your cape on, there can be hope on the other side.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
So that's what we're here to do, is help equip each other's men. So John, no, I appreciate you. Always love connecting with you. This is a fun conversation. I'm hoping guys that are listening, it could be guys, could be gals, whoever's listening.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That you can take something away from this conversation with a couple rabbit holes, but take something away, be able to apply it to your life and feel encouraged and equipped to fight forward stronger. Yeah. And we appreciate you listening to this podcast. If you know somebody you think would benefit, by all means, please share it. If you would like to share your story, you can go to theskilleddad.com and learn more information on where you can apply to be on the podcast. I'd love to hear your story, talk to you. Stories are powerful, regardless of how powerful or not interesting you think your story is. I guarantee it is interesting and applicable to someone else.
Absolutely.
So we'd love to hear from you. Please subscribe to this show. But most importantly, we hope that you take something away from it and are able to apply it to your life. John, thanks again, man. We'll be talking soon.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. What a great time.
You're listening to The Skilled Dad.